Well, I too greet each one of you in Jesus' name, and it's good to be gathered together with you, each one. I also want to give testimony to the first half of the church service. I thought about it. It was all young men now. I know I'm still pretty much of a young man, but younger men that led us in our worship and in our thinking this morning, and I was blessed by it. And I take courage in the fact that God will continue to raise up and that leaders and that the Spirit of God works and speaks to all of us. And I just was blessed by each one, your part, Brother Weston, and your leadership in moderating, and Valor in your thoughts from the Word, very biblical. And Brother Clark as well, your teaching and expounding has was a blessing this morning to hear it, and it just gives me renewed courage for life and for the church. So God bless each one of you, and also each one of you who is here this morning. There's a reason why this is one of the heavier traveled holidays. It's because people are going lots of places, and I'm just so thankful that there was cars coming to 4th Avenue Meeting House this morning. And it is a warm day, so I do, by the grace of God, endeavor to keep your interest and your, as we go along, and let's stay alert together, and let's see what God has for us. On Saturday morning was really when I made a final decision on what I was going to speak on. I was getting a little alarmed because it's a little late. I usually like to know where I'm headed before that, and it just wasn't coming to me. I asked my wife, I asked some others, any suggestions? And my wife received a phone call on Saturday morning, and I was, after she had gotten off the phone, she was telling me about her conversation, and my mind went to an encouragement that I'd like to write to someone. And as I thought about that, there was a couple verses that came to my mind, and they happened to be benedictions of the Bible. And suddenly, just those verses, I was thinking about what they mean to the person who would receive them, and I was thinking about what they meant to me, and suddenly I was like, there is the message for this morning. So turn with me to Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. We want to start there. And the message is simply benedictions of the Bible. And I'd like, I'd like us to look at some of these promises that we look at in the Bible and what they mean to us and how they bless us. But before we really spend much time reading these verses and talking specifically about them, I'd like to think just about this word benediction. And it's something that we do at the end of almost every service in our assembly. I guess you all are aware of that. I'm not sure what goes through your mind, what all is going through your mind there at the very end of a service. Our normal pattern here, we have a tradition that we go through. And one of the things that we do as I close the sermon, normally we just close it with prayer, and then we have another song, and another brother gets up to bear testimony to the message himself, give opportunity for testimonies, those kinds of things, any closing announcements. And then either he will take up a closing prayer and a benediction, or the speaker will. It's at his discretion at that point, whoever's closing. It'll be at Ernest's discretion this morning. And yet we often close with a benediction. It's this little thing, I guess you could say it's tacked on to the end. I don't feel that way about it. I don't know how you receive that or what you think of that, or if our minds are caught up with it's hot in here and the service has been long and so on and so forth. I imagine there's those kinds of thoughts from time to time, and I'm not judging you because of it, but I'm just thinking about, I want us to focus to think about this small piece of our normal services that we have and what it means and what it should mean to us. And What is the word benediction? Well, Webster says it's the invocation of a blessing, the short blessing with which public worship is concluded. So obviously this is much broader than a Mennonite thing, and certainly it is. As I did a little bit of research, I found that there is numerous groups and that have this as part of their services, a benediction. And so as I already mentioned, our tradition is that as we close the end of our service with prayer, that prayer transitions from beseeching God, from thanking God, to receiving from God a blessing, a promise, something for each one of us to claim. And I want us to think about that. I think it's very easy for us to take this closing prayer and you sort of lump it all together. But I'll be honest, with as I give that prayer, I find that I need to transition from thanking God for this service. I may thank him for what we received. I may ask him for help for the week. Whatever that prayer is, it's a very normal prayer, but we sort of come to a place where we pause, and then we transition into a benediction or a blessing, one of these verses that we read, and there's numerous of them that we use. I tend to use one more than another. I'd like to expand that a little bit because there are numerous ones. It's just a matter of having them available to you right there at the end of that service to use them. But I think it's important that we understand that this benediction, and we want to look at these verses, are not something that we're asking God for. It is a blessing that God is putting upon us. It's the words of God, the inspired words of God to us, for us to take with us. It's a nugget to take along. The invocation of a blessing, and I consider it a privilege to have the opportunity to lift my hand and pronounce the sacred words of blessing upon all of us. In fact, it is, well, as I thought about it some more, now maybe if you have your eyes open at the end of that prayer, you'll notice that I often raise my right hand. And as I thought about that, I wonder, why do I? Why do I do that? Well, why do I do that? And it wasn't something that, you know, it was part of our orientation after my ordination, or there wasn't a primer that I was given of step by steps by steps. Why do I? Well, I think there's pretty much two reasons for that. One is that's what I've seen as I grew up. I remember seeing that different times where the minister would raise his right hand, and as he's giving that, and you'd connect to that. There was a visual connection to the words that were being said. So that's one, and that's obviously that probably had the greatest influence on me. But secondly, there is something about these benedictions as you read them. It's very hard for me to say them without raising my hand. And I don't know why that is. Maybe it's just because of all those other influence. I can accept that. But I would like to say that I do believe, I guess the reason why that is there is a certain amount of boldness and authority that a leader takes upon himself when he lifts the hand and takes the word of its promise and pronounces it upon those who have gathered in and have had their hearts washed by the word. I remember distinctly as a young minister that I didn't raise my hand. It was too much. I just didn't have that boldness quite. I still sometimes don't raise my hand very high. And, well, what's the significance? I don't want to make a bigger deal out of it than what it is, but If you look in the Bible, as I studied this some more, because I was trying to understand what all motivated me, and I come across some verses that I don't know that I wasn't aware, or I hadn't really paid attention to them before, so it's not like I was receiving instruction from the Word. I just want to be clear on that for raising my hand. But if you'll notice here in Luke 24, verse 50, I'll just read the verse to you. As Jesus, as he led them from Bethany, and he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them that he parted from them and was carried to heaven. So that's one place where there is a Bible precedent to lifting the hands. That was Jesus. If you go back to Leviticus 9, verse 22, Aaron lifted up his hands towards the people and blessed them and came down from the offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And so you'll see it. There's two places. There's other places in the scripture where a hand is raised and a blessing is given. In fact, the one blessing may very well be the first one that we're going to look at here, where you turn to in Numbers 6:24. That blessing was given specifically to Aaron and his sons to bless the people. And we'll look at that in just a few moments. So there is a biblical example, precedent to raising the hand. But beyond that, as I thought about it, and as I've already shared, there is, as this blessing is pronounced, and as the words are given, as they are here in the Bible, as we take them and as we read them and pronounce them, I do have a hard time, I would not be able to read them in a monotone. I'll say it that way. I wouldn't be able to really read them in a monotone. They're not really made for that. For instance, we'll just look at the one here in Numbers where you're turned to, chapter 6 and verse 24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. These words carry with them weight, and you bring that out in your emphasis. And it's not a put on. It's just that's how they need to be read, because that's how they are. And they're meaningful and they're powerful and they're God's word to us. It was God's words here to the children of Israel, and they're God's words to us. And so I say again, quite frankly, my own experience was that it does take some boldness and a sort of a step into authority, if you will, that I'm going to take these words and bless us as we part. So it did me good this morning just to think about why I do what I do, why we do what we do. It will help us this morning as we look at these different benedictions, which we hope to look at four or five, that we will be refreshed by their message, and also bring an awareness to the fact that as we come to the end of this service, there will more than likely be a prayer. But really, probably the way we should do it is we should bring that prayer to at least this point where we say, in Jesus' name, we're sort of closing our prayer, and then we move into a benediction with an amen, because we transition from beseeching God to claiming the promises of God. And let's think about that some as we go along. I also, another thought here in introduction, many times I think from my own experience is that the leader's heart, the one who is leading in that or pronouncing the benediction, I believe that many times the leader's heart enters into it with a sincere love and a sincerity, and it becomes somewhat of a personal blessing upon who he has had the opportunity to serve. And that's often why that closing prayer's benediction is given to the person who has had the message. It's often referred back. You see, that's another little tradition that we do, and we don't think about it that much, but it's very fitting, and it fits when you have given yourself, when you have laid it out there, when you have reached in to people's lives, when you have expounded the Word of God and it has reached into people's lives, for you to have the opportunity then to bless those same people, it fits. I can see why we do it that way. Not always, but often we do that. And it's because there is an interaction that happens here, whether you know it or not, where a man gives his heart, and hearts are open to receive that. And this is just sort of a way, an extension of that, where the leader of that message, the one who has done this work, has an opportunity now to bless and to bring that blessing, to join in that blessing, to give that kind of confidence to those who have listened and have received the message that God's given him. But most importantly, in the benediction, we understand that God is opening the window of his heart. God is opening his love, his desire for communion, his call for good works and obedience, his promise of power to sustain, his desire to mingle with us in the glories of heaven, the work of and the importance of each part of the Trinity, and recognizing that all glory and power rests only in one, and that is the eternal Father God. And that's, if you were going to do a quick summation of what's in the benedictions, that's what it is. Most importantly, we understand that the benediction is opening a window into the heart of God. And so let's listen for that as we hear those benedictions read. So number 6, verses 24 through 27, where you've turned to, is the first one I'd like to look at. Now, I don't know how many of you receive or get the Eastern Testimony. We get it. And about a month or two ago, they had selected Bible benedictions in their book. I cut it out, made a copy of it, I think. And I had in mind to go through the Bible and choose a bunch of my favorite benedictions and a number of them and consolidate them in a paper and put them in my Bible, and so I'd have them. But until I got that done, I just had a few markers in where I like to go, and so I hadn't got it done. When I saw this one, I thought, well, that saves me the time. But you all, if you have it, cut it out. Hang it up on your bulletin board. Put it in your Bible, and it's a place that you can go to look at in one verse the plan of God, the promises of God, and so on. But I've enjoyed that. So the first one we want to look at is in number 6, verse 24 through 27. I already read them to you, but let's look at them again. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Now the context of this verse, it's God speaking to Moses there at in the wilderness, and it was not so very long into their journey into the wilderness. God's giving a lot of instruction, a lot of plans. This chapter, the context of this chapter here of chapter 6, and these verses in chapter 6 is the instructions for the Nazarite. That's the people, men or women, who separate themselves, vow a vow unto God, separate themselves for a specific work, separate themselves from a whole host of things. So there's a whole lot of instructions in that. And then the Lord spoke unto Moses in verse 22, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, and then this blessing. I've never used this blessing that I know of at the close of a service. It's not one that I've heard it used before. I've always liked to use ones that recognize the Trinity more so. Those are always meaningful to me, and I tend to do that. But as I studied this, this passage, one of the things I noticed was that there was numerous commentators here on this passage is in Numbers that talked about the threefold cord of truth here. Verse 24, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, talking about being chosen by God. Chosen by God. Verse 25, and the Lord make his face shine upon thee, the grace of God at work in the person of Christ. And verse 26, the work of the Holy Spirit. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. I don't know what all these words mean for you here, but as I studied the root words and as I thought about these phrases, the Lord bless thee, this thing of keeping and keep thee, this the word keep has an idea of building a hedge around to guard with thorns, a hedge that is built around to guard and protect. The Lord is building a hedge around to guard and protect. Verse 25. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. This word shine, we looked at light this morning in our Sunday school class, and we thought a good bit about that. Shine, it's to make luminous. It's the break of day. That's that word. I like that phrase because it has the idea that there was darkness, but now up over that darkness is coming this light of truth. And that light of truth is that God, through Jesus Christ, is making his face shine upon us. It's illuminating us. And his grace and his graciousness towards us is what is bringing this breaking of day, this light upon us. And finally, in verse 26, the blessing of God upon us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You're going to notice that if you're going to be keeping track of any themes through the few that we're going to look at this morning, this word peace again and again. The Lord's going to bring his countenance and he's going to give you peace. This is the heart of God. It is God's heart to have his people walking in peace. And we see it here. The Lord, the word countenance here, it's a word that's hard to define. I looked it up, and it's just, I don't know if you ever looked up a Hebrew or a Greek word, and it's the synonyms, it's like this long. I mean, there's just lines of words that I guess are to help you to understand it. But as I understood this word and thought about it, I think this word countenance here is that it means a personal relationship and communion that gives confidence is occurring. Verse 26, the Lord is going to lift up his countenance upon thee. He's going to give, and that's where this idea of the Spirit comes into play. And also the Trinity aspect being that it is pronounced three times, and even the Jewish writers of the day took significance to that and why this was given three times. But to shine, to this countenance, to give this opening of personal relationship and communion that gives confidence and peace. That's just one. It's an Old Testament one, but let's continue on back to the New Testament. Turn with me to Acts 20. Acts 20 and verse 32. Before I read that, let's just think a little bit about the context, because I do like to do that. It does give. Here Paul has spent some time. He's spent about 3 years of journeyings there in his missionary journeys, and he was coming back through. He was headed for Jerusalem. He called for the elders of the church to come and meet him from this certain region. So they came. And Paul here in chapter 20 is just giving encouragement. He's giving instruction. He's giving personal testimony. All of those are part of chapter 20. And suddenly here in verse 32, he says this, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all which are sanctified. And it's just beautiful verse, just packed full of truth. Here was Paul's last face-to-face interaction and with these elders. And as I already mentioned, after admonition and some of the other things, he gives them this beautiful blessing and points them to whom, from whom comes their help and their sustenance. As I considered this verse transitions us from the realities of what we need today, the tools that we have today, which will give us the inheritance of all which are sanctified. This verse takes us from the earthly pain, sorrow, struggle, changes that unsettle. That's what was happening here. These men were getting ready to weep on Paul's shoulder because they know he was leaving, and more than likely, not most of them would never see him again. So change that unsettles. This verse moves us from all of those things to the solid sound foundation of God through Jesus Christ, right into the eternal inheritance of the saints. That's what this verse does. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. I'm just his mouthpiece, Paul was saying. We've had a good work together, but I've taught to you Christ. I've pointed you to Jesus Christ, the plan of God. I commend you back to him. Don't get caught up with me. And to the word of his grace through Jesus Christ, which is able to build you up, to give you strength, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. It's another theme of these benedictions, and that is of strength, sustenance from God, and the inheritance of the saints, the future that we can be a part of and will be a part of through Jesus Christ. And you'll see that here in these verses. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Second Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. Now, one of the reasons why this is a favorite one of mine is because of how, in so few words, it gives to us the Trinity, the work of God through the work of God, the work of Jesus Christ, and the work of the Spirit. And I'll just read the verse now. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. If I was to just expound on those phrases a little bit, maybe I would say it like this. May all the grace of Jesus Christ, in whom all power has been given in heaven and earth, and the love of God that moved him to create and involve himself with us, may be evident and realized in our lives. And may the power of God, which is his Spirit, be in us and upon us. This communion talks about active participation. That's what's in these verses. It's three short phrases, but there's so much in it because it pulls in all of the Godhead. This verse gives us such a succinct expression of God, how he works and how he is accomplishing his will today. He is three in one. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. That's God's heart. That's his will for his people. It's his will for us in 2016. And these words are for you and I to receive in faith and claim them in our lives. I was encouraged by those verses. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. verse 23 and 28. Now, I want us to look at this verse. I'll read verse 23 first of all, and we'll conclude with 28. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 28, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Often those two verses are tied together, and you'll skip over the few verses between, which is not doing injustice at all to the scriptures. The reason I chose this one out of others that I had this, these verses here in chapter 5, the context of it is talking about this good fight. It's talking about being sober and putting on the breastplate. It's talking about the battle. It's talking about verse 14, the unruly and the feeble-minded and supporting the weak and being patient. And verse 21, prove all things, hold fast, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wanted to look at this. It is God, while all of these verses that I just briefly looked at beforehand in this chapter, they're instructive to us. They challenge us. They call us to obedience. But here in these verses, we see it is the God of peace who is sanctifying us wholly. And also, he goes on, I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That verse helps me to understand that there is a distinct work of God on my behalf that is going to enable me to be this, preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not in this alone. We're not out here on a limb by ourselves, or on some island by ourselves, but rather this is a very cooperative work with God. And that's what the inspired word here, this benediction, brings out to us. And finally in verse 28, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. There is I am trying to decide which additional one I should include in our time here this morning. I'd like to just read you this one and make a brief comment. Hebrews 13, verses 20 through 21. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Did you see the promises in there? The God of peace, here's another one, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This verse, again, calls us to this reality that we're being called unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, and that we are going to suffer for a while. There are going to be difficulties for a while. And also, it concludes with, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever, amen. There's another theme that runs through the benedictions, and that is the honor and glory and praise that only God alone is worthy of receiving. Maybe we'll just look briefly at the last one that I have on my list here, and it's one that I have used many times. It's one that I treasure, and it's found in Jude. It looks very similar on my paper, 24 and 25. Jude 24 and 25. Jude gives this exhortation here in this book. One chapter is it's a book of warning, of caution. Pointing people to Christ. Verse 21, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Talking about our involvement. I see us being engaged, keeping ourselves. And then as he wraps up the chapter, he concludes with these two verses. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. I see Jude taking the whole plan of the gospel, and he wraps it all up in the plan of God. It is God who has put forward this plan, put forward Jesus Christ, and it's unto, and he is able to keep us from falling. He is able to present you faultless before the presence of God with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. And there is something powerful about those words. Recognizing together here in 2016 that there is going to be a day when all will fall on their knees. They will bow before this throne of dominion and power, both now and forever. Today, that power is real and is existing, and it will continue on forever. I hope just a few minutes of looking at these benedictions have given us, will help us all to appreciate this short but important part of our public assembly, of our gathering together. It's just a few words, but it's God's words to us. It's an opening of God's heart to us. It's a condensed version of the truth so many times, wrapped up in a nugget for us to take with us. Let's give proper honor and recognition to these benedictions of God upon us. Let's receive these words as the promises that they are. Romans 16:24, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we call upon you at the close of this service. We thank you for bringing us together here, each one. We thank you for each one who has gathered here. And Lord, you know the work that you've done in all of our hearts this morning. Lord, you know the work that is yet to be done and needs to be done in my life, in the lives of those who have gathered in here. We thank you for your light. We thank you for your truth and your word. We thank you for it, even though at times that light can be uncomfortable to us. And I just pray that you would continue to sanctify us. Thank you for the work that you have done in our hearts. Thank you for this assembly of believers. Oh God, I pray that we would press on unto perfection. I pray that you would continue to draw others in. Lord, we pray for the lost souls that are around us. We pray for your heart. We pray for the heart of Christ for those who do not know you yet. Lord, we also pray for an awakening in this society yet here at the very end. An awakening to a great darkness and a pursuit for light, the true light of Christ. And I just pray that you would help us to present that light this week as we go our way from here, from this assembly. Thank you for these benedictions that we have in your word. Thank you for your blessing upon us. Thank you for your promises to us. Thank you for your love and your mercy that's shown to us. And oh God, I pray that you would present us, preserve us holy and blameless. I pray that we would walk with you and that you would be able to give us that pronunciation at the end of our lives. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. And so we pray that you would bless us as we go from this place. And we do give you all the honor and the glory and the praise that you alone are worthy. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.